Along with the COVID-19 vaccine, getting the flu shot is one of the most important things you can do to stay healthy this year.
Flu shots are available and free to University of Alabama students at sites across campus and at the UA Student Health Center and Pharmacy.
Check out our schedule at cchs.ua.edu/flu shot.
Call 205-348-6262 for a flu shot appointment at the Student Health Center or walk up Monday through Friday from 4 p.m. to 4:45 p.m. Sunday, y'all. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone. And Whitney, are you dying on me?
Well, before we started the show, I was talking 90 to nothing and I sucked back some air or, I don't know, some spit or something. And I had one of those coughing attacks that, like, literally you feel like you're going to die. Like, and I still kind of feel that way. So I do apologize if all of a sudden I'm like, I got to hold on for a second and mute it. But I'm not sick or anything. I'm just kind of like, you know, like the worst thing is when you cannot get that cough. And I'll tell you a story really quickly. I was teaching yoga one time, and in Shavasana, which is your final relaxation at the very end, the same thing happened to me. And it was awful because here are these poor people in here trying to do yoga, and Whitney's over here yakking on her air. But anyway.
Well, I will say the last time it happened to me was just 2 weeks ago, and I was recording my intern. We were doing an Instagram Live cooking demo, and
we're
making deviled eggs and apple pies, and here I am, like, holding my phone as the camera, and I'm, like, coughing. And of course, you know, the people don't see me, but they know that I'm coughing, and they're probably like, oh my gosh, is she coughing on these deviled eggs?
Yeah.
And I could not stop. And yeah, you get that dry pocket
you
in your
do.
Throat.
Oh my
your
gosh,
eyes get
awful.
Weird. So I feel you. So
man, it was like literally right before we came on and I was like, oh, this is terrible. Here we go.
Yeah, it's like, wait.
But yes, I'm good now. So
well,
yeah.
How was your Thanksgiving?
You know, it was very, very good. Lots of delicious food, lots of dressing and macaroni and cheese, like all the carbs. You know how like just like you eat so many carbs. I mean, I kind of love it. It puts me in kind of like a little like trance or whatever. And I don't eat the turkey, but I still get kind of that like sleepy feeling after I've eaten the carbs. It was great. How was yours?
It was good. It was one of those things. Well, Thursday we went to my mother-in-law's and then I ended up going through and making a Thanksgiving lunch on Friday and my parents did come. They realized, they were like, oh, if we're the only set of parents coming, then we get full access to the grandchildren. So
I remember that being a thing right before we left for the break. So that worked out well.
It did. I made like way too much stuff. And I think one of the things that I had to navigate was keeping things simultaneously warm because we are not those fancy people that have like two large ovens that you see like in the super fancy houses. And so I'm like, oh my gosh. So I had to look on the internet at different hacks of how to keep food warm. And that just sounds so trivial. But one of the things was talking about putting food in a cooler and then wrapping it with towels. So like if you were to do like a casserole dish, wrap it in a bunch of aluminum foil, put a towel around it, stick it in the cooler.
Nice.
But the key is you have to prep your cooler for going into hot mode in terms of the walls of the cooler actually being warm. So that warmth is in there. So it's said to put hot water in the cooler for like 20, 30 minutes and then pour it out. And then it was like,
that's cool.
It was a warm little sauna situation.
Wow.
And same thing too, I think for the opposite, if you were to ever like take a cooler on a boat and you know, you wanted to keep the drinks as cold as possible, you don't want your cooler to have been like setting out in the
sun
for forever and like putting all the stuff in a hot cooler. Like, you know,
one wants hot beer.
No, no. So that was just kind of a little like interesting learning moment for
me. That is cool. You know, I didn't think about that because for Thanksgiving, we always go to my aunt's house. She has a nice big old house with all those fancy things you're talking about.
Yes.
She's literally the perfect hostess and she just does such a good job. And so I never really think about like keeping everything warm because she has the double oven, but she also has a warmer underneath.
Oh, fancy.
Yeah, very fancy. And I never really thought about it, but I don't know what I would do if I catered or had everybody there. I probably wouldn't. That's not my style. I like to go and take rather than have people come to me because I like to leave the situation when I want to kind of thing. But that's cool. It sounds like you had a really good Thanksgiving. It worked out well.
It did. And I was actually surprised in that same weekend, I got my first Christmas card from a friend. It's like she was super early. We had just mailed some out and we do the like awkward family photo type stuff. So I'm excited to get those out. But yeah, I was kind of like, oh my gosh, it's not even December. and I'm getting some Christmas cards.
Well, it's December now, baby.
Yes, it is.
It's kind of crazy. And I have a birthday this month.
Yeah, I was going to say, is this not your birthday month?
This is my birthday month, which... Is your birthday after mine or was it? It was before mine. It was in November.
So you're joining me in the
37 club. Oh, Lord. Well, you know, there you have it. I think it's about time for a break on that note.
Okay. So you guys, think about your own birthday, what you ate for Thanksgiving. We'll catch you on the flip side. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back, guys. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone. And if you are just now joining us before the break, we were talking about Thanksgiving and birthdays. Mm. Whitney is joining me in the 37 Club, mm-hmm. not to be confused with the 700 Club
yeah.
that sometimes you might see like late at night or on a Sunday yeah, morning yeah. on television. Maybe we're aging ourselves.
I know. And students are probably like, what?
Yeah, what is a 700 yeah. Club? So Google that if yeah. you would like to. But, you know, with this being our last show of the semester, and, you know, obviously with us being in the health field, we're very cognizant of the types of goals that people set into the new year. People think a lot about how they're eating over the mm-hmm. holidays, all that kind of stuff. So it was, I was kind of thinking about this, and mm-hmm. I think we thought about this together, was to do something on nutrition where we basically talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Mm.
And I thought maybe today we kind of talk about first, I wanted us to start off in this segment and just really talking about like what you need to completely stay away from
oh,
in terms of like
yeah.
with a completely like 10-foot pole, like mm-hmm. don't even consider it, like please no, no, no. And then next, you know, we'll talk about, okay, here's something you can consider, but you really need to understand what you're getting into.
Yeah.
Like if you're
yeah.
going to try this out, know the rules, like, mm. you know, understand. And then lastly, like talking about just sustainable nutrition, like, mm-hmm. you know, what would it look like to diet without it being focused on weight mm-hmm. loss, just eating for your health? Because I think sometimes we don't always think about the fact that we can eat for our health and it doesn't have to have anything to do with our weight.
Right. And I really like that we're talking about nutrition. And, you know, Terry, who's one of our other producers, I was like, I want to hear more nutrition. And I think, like, I'll be honest with you, maybe this is just my take because I'm in fitness, but I always feel like people are really interested in nutrition. They're interested in fitness. But I feel like with nutrition, it's like it's a science and a chemistry, and mm-hmm. people, there's all these fads that are out there. I guess very similar to, you know, fitness and,
yeah.
and how we have different ways to work out, different things that you should or shouldn't do. I always like this because for us at the rec center and for myself, I get a lot of questions from patrons and clients asking about nutrition. And, you know, with our scope of practice, like you're a registered dietitian, you've got all of this, like this is your area. There's only so much that I can really say. So it's nice for me to kind of hear these things because I don't particularly like diets.
Sure.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, going into the new year and in January, that's what everybody's thinking is, oh my gosh, I've totally got a diet. Well, mm-hmm. and I'm sure we're going to talk a little bit more about this, but it's, in my opinion, it's about changing your mindset kind of thing.
Yes.
And when you go into it, like picking these diets and these things, it's just put so many parameters. It's not fun. Like, I don't want to live my life not enjoying the food that I eat, not mm-hmm. having fun with like going out with people and being mindful of these things. So I really like that we're talking about this stuff because, I mean, after Christmas, after the holidays, people are going to like head down, head strong, try to jump into these things.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
And if you think about diets in general, they really put us in a mindset of not wanting to listen to our body. Like we've,
yes.
over the years, we've kind mm-hmm. of been conditioned to only use external cues for mm-hmm. when to eat, when not to eat, what to eat, what not to eat, versus actually listening to our body. So mm-hmm. like maybe your body is like, yo, dude, I'm hungry right now. But mm-hmm. you're like, no, no, no. Mm-hmm. Did you not get the memo mm-hmm. that I'm intermittent fasting right now? You don't know better. Mm-hmm. Or my body's like, yo, girl, like you need a banana. Like you need some kind of mm-hmm. carb. And then my body's like, do you not know that I'm doing South Beach or keto?
Yeah.
You dumb body.
Yeah, you know, and that kind of makes me think, you know, listening to your body is super important, but I also wonder if people know how to listen to their body.
Yep.
If you know those cues. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I know this is kind of like jumping into like not even what our outline is, but like, in your opinion, what are some ways that people can actually listen to their bodies and like what are hunger cues? Like, what should I be feeling, you know, if I'm trying to intermittent fast, if that's your thing, whatever, do what you want to do. But like, you know, sometimes we think we're hungry and I don't know if we really are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I love that you brought that up because I actually, before the show today, I was talking to another group about this with intuitive eating. And one of the principles is honoring our hunger. And so if you think about the concept of hunger and the sensation of hunger, you know, the sensation of hunger is not a good feeling. It's a hunger pain. You know,
right.
We hear that term all the time. Well, maybe our body used to be really good at telling us it was hungry. Like we got those traditional like tummy rumbles, all the good stuff. Well, for whatever reason, we couldn't eat in that moment. Maybe we were too busy. We worked as a nurse and we're not allowed to have food where we work, whatever, whatever. Well, our body's really resilient and very protective. And it's like, oh my gosh, I don't want Whitney to feel hungry anymore. Let me produce some natural chemical endorphins to mute that hunger feeling. Yes, we actually still need some nutrition in these cells, but we're going to cut off that communication because we don't want her to feel that pain. So even though your body is still needing that nutrition in real time, it's decided to mute that signal. And so, then the body realizes like, oh, homegirl still is not eating. We need to send an SOS, aka a non-traditional hunger cue, to let her know that we're hashtag dying inside because we need some hunger. So a lot of times I have clients that say like, oh, well, I don't really get hungry, but I experience headaches or fatigue. For some individuals, it could be really bad breath. It could even be like a fixation on food, but not necessarily feeling hungry. There's a list of about 9 different non-traditional hunger cues that I'll sometimes share with clients. And I'm like, hey, does this apply to you? And then we talk about what we can do to get the body back to a place where it is starting to give those traditional hunger cues again. And you're right. Sometimes we're just misreading those cues. And also, too, sometimes the body will mimic the feeling of hunger when it's actually thirsty. So if you've just eaten a meal or you've just eaten a snack and then 5 or 10 minutes later you're hungry again, I like to do something called the water test. And that would be where you'd have a glass or bottle of water, wait about 10 minutes, and then reassess that hunger feeling. And if that hunger went away, it might have been more of a hydration issue than a hunger issue. But if you're still hungry after that, you may have truly not eaten enough of that meal or snack.
You know what's really interesting about that? Because I'm like thinking about myself, and I've kind of changed my eating, I would say, over the past couple of months. Okay, I went through this phase where like I would wake up and I was like, I'm just not hungry for breakfast. And I was like, I'm just not gonna eat until I'm hungry. And so I would wait until about 10 o'clock and then I start to feel like, okay, I'm hungry. But then it got weird because then I would be at work and I'd be going, 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 and I wouldn't eat like until it was time for like dinner time or something. And then that's when I'm like, oh yeah, let's eat. You know, and I'm like, I'm hungry. I can kind of mentally relax and enjoy my food. But it's so funny because there'd be times that like I wouldn't even know I was hungry at that point. And then I would kind of feel different things, you know, like a slight headache or maybe like just some fatigue. And I'm like, well, I'm tired because that. And then I go, wait a minute. No, I'm tired probably because I haven't fueled my body. It's kind of amazing once you have a snack or a meal or whatever, how it just, I mean, you feel like a new person.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. And sometimes we don't think about, especially in our professions too, our brain is one of our body's hungriest organs. And the thing about our brain is it needs nutrition in real time. It can't just carb load at the beginning of the day and run off of it. Basically, for lack of better words, like its snack closet is not very big, so it kind of needs to be replenished every couple hours. And so I think for a lot of our listeners that might be students or work desk jobs, we might say like, oh, well, I shouldn't eat. Like, I really didn't do anything all day other than sit at my desk and study. Well, you were using that brain power to write that paper. You know, your neurons need that glucose. So have that steady snack because then, like you said, when you eat it, you feel like a different person because you have that mental clarity again because it's like, holy cannoli. Oh, this is what it feels like for my brain to get some glucose. Okay.
You know, and now that like I've started eating breakfast, it's so weird. It's like all of a sudden I was like, oh, I think I'll eat breakfast. I don't know why I started doing it. I just made myself do it because I was like, maybe I'd be more efficient. Well, actually, I know why. I started teaching a little bit more in the mornings. I was like, well, I've got to be fueled. So like my favorite thing to eat is like, okay, this, I'm totally wrapping myself up. But I love like an Eggo waffle with peanut butter on it.
Girl,
and
me too.
Jelly. Like, it's like, it is the best thing. And it's, I just eat one of them because that's really kind of all I need. I mean, Saturdays I kind of like a big breakfast. I've kind of been into that lately. But I don't know. It's been a game game changer. Of course, I feel hungrier now because I'm starting to realize those kind of hunger pains, like the traditional ones. Mm-hmm. I think of like my tummy grumbling or whatever, but I don't know. I've been changing it up. It's been kind of fun. I mean, why not? Eat a little breakfast here and there.
It's really cool just to see like the different nuances in how our body likes to be fueled. Mm-hmm. And it can vary so much day to day. I think that a lot of times the individuals that we work with like kind of consider their body to be this like stoic machine that is like very calculated where like, oh, you're getting the same number of gallons of gas every single day. There can't be a switch, you know, but we're these biological beings where there's like different shifts in fluid, you know, maybe we're doing a little bit more of this or that. So just some different stuff. And I know we completely went off topic, but I think this is so helpful for our listeners.
Yeah, I do too.
But you guys, now it's time for a break. So ponder on that. We'll catch you in just a bit. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheen and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney, and we're talking about food and nutrition today, which I kind of love because I'm in fitness, and so I feel like I know a lot of things about fitness, and I talk about it all the time, so I always like to learn, you know, things that you have to say about nutrition, and honestly, I just really like food.
Yeah.
I enjoy eating, you know. I enjoy... Well, actually, I've gotten into cooking more, which is kind of fun because I'm like, I need a hobby. I need something else, you know? And so I was like, I think I'm going to try cooking. So that's been kind of fun to, like, make things from scratch and ingredients rather than, like, eating my ramen noodles that I usually like to eat, which are not very nutritionally dense, but I guess you can put stuff in there to make them nutritionally dense. But anyway, so yeah, we're just talking about food nutrition. Perfect time of year to talk about it because, you know, as we're entering into, you know, the Christmas holidays and just having, you know, all the food around. And then January kind of being when people like put their heads down and like diet. I hate that word, but you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, I think that if you have ever felt overwhelmed about diets or like how to eat healthy, that's very natural because probably one of my biggest pet peeves is when folks will compare something like, say, for example, the obesity epidemic to smoking or, you know, alcohol use or whatever. Because with those, you just quit and you no longer expose yourself to it. But with food, you're really trying to teach someone how to still go to food, but have completely different behaviors, choose different types of things. And so it can be really tricky. And so one of the things we also have to be cognizant of is that there's just a lot of information on the internet, and the weight loss industry is a $1 trillion industry worldwide. And there's going to be a ton of great information, but there's going to be even more like horrible information that's out there.
I think that's what the whole point of this. I mean, we're going to talk about some diets and things not to do, but like that's kind of the whole point, is to be aware of your resources and to know where to go and to be smart. Because I hate to break it to you, but a lot of these companies, I'm just going to speak really real, they don't really care about you. They care more about the money coming in. Yeah. And so some of these things can be really good and helpful, different lifestyles to live. At the same time, when it comes down to money, people are going to try to make it. And what better time of year than January when people can buy into your product and your program? So, I mean, without further ado, I think we should talk about the worst nutrition trends.
Yes, absolutely. So I have a couple on here. I don't know if we'll get to all of them, but one of the things that I wanted to mention was something along the lines of juice cleanses or cleanses in general. You know, I have a t-shirt, and it's funny because, you know, people will talk about like, oh, I'm going to do this juice cleanse. I need to like, you know, really clean out these toxins in my body. And I'm like, oh, I actually know a really great cleanse that you should try out. It's amazing and it's free. It's your liver and kidneys.
Yeah.
Like, it's awesome. It's amazing. And people like look at me like, why are you being a butt? Like, come on. But no, seriously, if you think about it, you know, when people are going on a juice cleanse, what they're drinking is primarily going to be water. And then some of the vitamins and minerals that are in whatever fruit or vegetable they did. And so I totally get people wanting to get more vitamins and minerals in their diet. So sometimes they kind of justify that juice cleanse as, oh, well, this is a way for me to get all these micronutrients. But when that juicing process happens, you're getting rid rid of all of the good stuff in that fruit or vegetable, the fiber that would actually help get you full, or maybe the, you know, the carbohydrate content of that fruit that would actually give you energy. So then you end up getting hangry, and that juicing experience early in the day could get you to like binge on regular food later that night.
Yeah, you know? I was just thinking about that. Like, you're just strictly drinking the juice, which juice is a healthy thing, but you're missing all those nutrients and you're drinking water. So I guess if you have a trouble drinking water, then I mean, sure, you're getting your water intake, but I also think about like, that's not going to make me full. Yeah. And hello, fiber, if you want to cleanse, look into your fiber content because that's important, you know? Yeah, I've never been a fan of juice cleanses. I remember when I was younger, probably like middle school, like going through Walmart and seeing the Hollywood juice.
Yes.
You remember that one?
Oh, yeah. And it was like,
this thing,
and then
you drink
it. Little,
I was like, was that like, are you just going to like go to the bathroom? I mean, is that all it is? Is it messes you up and you just go to the bathroom?
Pretty much. Like, and along those lines, a lot of the different diet teas that are out there.
Yeah.
And so you guys may know the Kardashians have no shame in like being paid to promote like the most random products. Like,
right.
I've seen like weight loss lollipops, like weight loss teas, like all of the things. And so I was joking with some students one day where it was an ad for this weight loss tea that one of the Kardashians was doing, and they're in a robe, you know, really calm with their tea, talking about how it, you know, helps them with weight loss. And I'm like, y'all, what they're not mentioning in this ad is the fact that that tea basically has ingredients that irritate your stomach lining, that's going to give you really bad diarrhea. It's going to be
awesome.
A diuretic. So you're basically peeing and pooping out all of that quote unquote weight.
Yeah.
And so that's really sexy, right?
Oh, it's so sexy. And you know, I love tea, right? I love like green tea, hot tea, and there's some health benefits, but I do have a problem with the market, you know, saying this is going to, you know, promote weight loss. Now, there may be in some ways some healthy benefits to it. They're going to boost your, you know, immune system, things like that. But like when people see weight loss, they automatically think, at least in my mind, like a lot of weight loss.
Yes.
Like it's not just, even if there's a subtle, like it helps to promote something in your body that is beneficial. When you put weight loss in front of it, people automatically think, I'm going to get skinny.
Mm-hmm.
That is their mindset. And so it's just very misleading. So, okay. So juice cleanses, we'll just scratch them off.
Yes.
Just no juice cleanses here. Yeah.
Yes. The next thing, and I know we've got a ton of different ones, but if I had to like really prioritize talking about one, let's talk about low carb.
Mm-hmm.
You know, definitely the keto diet. You know, we hear it all the time. It's going to continue to stick around. And the thing about a low carbohydrate diet is that first and foremost, carbs are your body's preferred fuel source. Really at the chemical level, your body or your brain runs at its highest level of efficiency if it's actually getting glucose.
Mm-hmm.
So when somebody goes on a low carb diet, your body kind of goes into freak out mode at the cell level. It starts thinking, oh my gosh, Whitney is not giving me enough carbs. I need something else for energy. The next thing your body is going to tap into for energy is going to be protein. But instead of breaking down the protein that you just ate in that protein shake or chicken sandwich or whatever the case may be, it's easier chemically for your body to break down protein that's part of your muscle tissue. And if you think about your muscle tissue, it's kind of like a sponge that holds a lot of our body water, because we're anywhere between 60 to 75% water. So if the body is breaking down protein in your muscle tissue, that muscle's getting smaller and smaller, and it's squeezing out a ton of water weight, which looks super exciting on the scale. We just don't realize where that weight loss is coming from. And it's really not until our body has broken down a certain amount of protein in your muscle tissue that it finally has the energy to switch over into fat burning. And it goes into fat burning as a last resort just because it's so daggum hard for the body to burn fat. Like, your body needs energy to make that process happen. So by giving yourself enough carbohydrates to make that fat burning process happen, then you don't have to mess with your muscle tissue. That then you don't have to worry about your metabolism being lowered every single time that you do that. And so actually there's a dietitian. She is the sports dietitian for the Atlanta Braves. And she had shared something with me recently that is a really great analogy that I have been using with my patients, and especially too for patrons of the rec center. You know, they might be in the mindset of like, oh my gosh, protein is king. I'm working out. So protein is super important. Carbs are scary. Well, if you think about construction on a house, you know, and you can think of protein protein as the raw materials, basically, that you want to like build the walls, build the muscles. Well, carbohydrates are going to be the carpenters that are actually productively using that protein. So you could be eating a ton of protein, but if you don't have any carbs, you're just going to have a bunch of raw materials sitting in the frame of that house, just building up and not doing anything productive, and could potentially be quote unquote stored as fat because the body can't do anything with it. But if you've got the workers there, you're actually eating enough carbs, the right amount to make everything work, your body can use that protein productively.
Well, and I don't know about our listeners, but hearing a registered dietitian say it's okay to eat carbs and that you should be eating them is very, I don't know, it's uplifting because, first of all, I love carbs. I mean, I find that I will crave certain things because my body obviously needs that. And then from a fitness standpoint, I mean, with our protein, we're trying to build muscle. We're trying to increase bone density. And you don't, as you get older, you're going to lose that stuff anyway. So, like, when you're younger, now's the time to kind of be working out, eating the right things. And I mean, I will applaud some of our patrons at the rec center, especially some of the females that I see really lifting weights. And it looks like they care about being stronger and not, you know, back, I feel like when we were in school, it was like, heaven forbid you go pick up a weight because your mindset is you're going to get bigger, you know?
Exactly.
And the females I've noticed in the weight room and the guys too are really like caring about their bodies and lifting correctly. And it seems like they're trying to do the right thing and eat correctly. So that's good to know that carbs are an important part.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And also, too, if you're thinking about carbohydrates, we can get carbs from sources other than starchy foods. So if you have like a gluten intolerance or some issue like that, fruit and dairy products like a Greek yogurt or a banana or a glass of orange juice, really great source of carbohydrates if you medically can't eat a lot of the more, I guess, traditional or thought of carbohydrates.
Yeah. And we're getting ready to come up on a break, but I think that's a good point because a lot of times when people go on these like no carb diets, they forget that there's carbs in other things. Mm-hmm. And so to me, if you're going to totally eliminate your carbs, you're eliminating a lot of food.
Yeah.
You're not just not eating pasta or, you know, bread. It's a lot of foods when you say you're eliminating carbs. So I think it's a little bit of education and kind of learning what you're eating. But yeah, I think we got to get a break.
Oh, absolutely. You guys, we'll catch you in a bit. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Shane and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied, and it's the week after Thanksgiving, all the way, or I guess longer than that. It feels like it's been forever since Thanksgiving, but kind of around the corner. And, you know, coming up on the holidays, and, you know, Sheena just giving us knowledge on nutrition because we love to hear about nutrition. And we're talking about the worst nutrition trends. And I'm also kind of curious, this is kind of our last segment before we, you know, kind of come to our end of the show a little bit. But, like, I do want to know, like, if there's any other nutrition trends that we should completely stay away from. And then I kind of want to talk a little bit more about some of those nutrition trends that are maybe okay, but a little, we need to be a little cautious about it. Because, you know, that's kind of, I mean, there's some things out there that might be helpful and beneficial. So what's another worst nutrition trend you could think of?
Well, you know, I think if we really wanted to kind of just lump everything into a nutshell, I would say, you know, your red flags for anything you want to completely stay away from are going to be the type of eating trends or diets where they encourage you to completely eliminate like entire food groups.
Yeah.
They're while also promising very rapid weight loss, you know, or eating within a certain time frame. So I would say, you know, those are going to be some of the huge red flags that, that I would put out there. And I'll feel frisky and put on our social media maybe a little infographic of like some red flag things to look for. So maybe we'll start productively
using our social media accounts.
We'll do that. But you know, I was starting to think too about some of the other eating styles out there that you want to approach with caution or at least a lot more knowledge. And I had specifically put vegan and vegetarian on here. For one, you know, Whitney, I know that you're vegetarian, and I think that you can definitely be an extremely balanced eater with a vegan and vegetarian diet and get all of your nutrient needs if you're willing to eat all that the vegan and vegetarian lifestyle allows. Because I think sometimes you'll have an individual who is seeking a vegan or vegetarian diet as a way to lose weight, but they happen to be a picky eater. They actually really don't like fruits and vegetables, and then they end up creating a diet that's primarily potatoes and pasta.
Yeah.
And, you know, they may not lose weight from that. So mm-hmm. that's something to keep in mind, where just because you are eating vegetarian or vegan or maybe even gluten-free, mm-hmm. you know, just some random things out there, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to help with weight loss.
Yeah, and in my opinion, you know, being a vegan is super hard. I did it for like a month or two, and I even eat a lot of things, but I was like, man, this is a lot of preparation. This is really hard, because when you go vegan, you're eliminating any animal products.
Yeah.
And so you can't have cheese, you can't have eggs, you got to eat all the like fake stuff. But, you know, if you are a picky eater, I wouldn't really recommend being a vegan, because I just don't know what you would eat.
Yeah.
I really don't. Now, being a vegetarian, in my you know, realm of things, I do have junk food that I love to eat, because I'll kind of, you know, crave some of that stuff. But you have to be very mindful of, you've got to eat vegetables, you've got to eat beans, you've got to eat tofu. Like every time I make a meal, I have to make sure there is a protein source, because it's very easy for me to just want to eat some noodles and some pasta, and mm-hmm. I'm not really, yes, I'm getting the carbs, but there's no vegetable there. And you really do have to be mindful. But I feel like nowadays a lot of people are vegetarians, and there's good recipes to mix up and things, a lot of cool substitutes that you can do. So it's definitely out there, but you got to work for it a little
Absolutely.
Bit.
Absolutely. And this is a good segue into one of the eating styles that I was going to mention as being really great for overall health. And you guys may or may not know that U.S. News and World Report, every year, they kind of put out their rankings of the different diets that are out there. So they'll put like best overall diet, mm-hmm. best diet for weight loss, best mm-hmm. diet for heart health, all the things. And one of the diets that's in the top five for best overall diet is something called the flexitarian diet. I feel like, you know, people make up all of these names.
Yeah.
Where basically, maybe you are essentially vegetarian mm-hmm. or you're a meat eater. You just don't eat meat as often. It doesn't have to be part of every single meal.
Like, so, maybe a couple times a week you eat it or something like that.
Meatless Monday, mm-hmm. all of that. And you're having a lot more flexibility. And I think it challenges you to maybe have fruits and vegetables a little bit more often mm-hmm. in your diet. You know, sometimes animal products can be seen as very high in saturated fat or mm-hmm. whatever the case may be. So being a little bit more flexible about the frequency of it could help with heart health mm-hmm. as well. So that's, you know, something to think about too, mm-hmm. just in terms of that flexibility overall. But I also wanted to mention something called Whole 30, because I have a lot of my friends, mm-hmm. and including dietitians, just folks in the wellness circle in general, that are like, oh my gosh, you should do Whole 30. Like, I feel like I'm eating so clean. Mm. And so for our listeners that are not as familiar with it, I had made some notes because I want to make sure that I'm not missing anything. But pretty much, Whole 30 is a month-long elimination diet used basically as a nutrition reset. Mm. That's kind of how it was built. You know, you have people that complain about like, oh, I have like these different skin conditions or allergies or GI issues or whatever else. So the folks that created this Whole 30 diet were like, okay, well, we'll make somebody eat like quote unquote super clean, mm-hmm. kind of reset their gut. And so the central premise of the diet is that food should make you healthier, but in many common foods in the Western diet, like sugar, alcohol, mm-hmm. grains, dairy, beans, and all that stuff, they say it can be harmful to your health, so you have to be careful with that. And so pretty much during the 30 days, you'll eat whole unprocessed foods like fruits, veggies, animal protein, nuts, and healthy fats. After the 30 days, you slowly reintroduce off-limit food groups to check for reactions. Mm. So there's some pros and cons to this. For mm-hmm. one, you know, as a pro, it could give somebody a reason to kind of clean up their quality of their diet, or at least be a little bit more cognizant, mm-hmm. like, oh wow, I'm eating way too many things out of a box, like mm-hmm. I should, you know, be mindful of that. But it's called Whole 30 for a reason. Mm. You only want to do it for 30 days. Like, if you are existing on this eating style 365 24/7, you're really going to be limiting mm-hmm. Your diet a lot, because essentially, the only type of carbohydrate that's legal on this Whole 30 diet is fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be missing a lot of key micronutrients that would be found in starchy-based carbohydrates or dairy and some of the other food groups that are not allowed. So I'm not completely opposed to somebody dabbling with a Whole 30 eating mm-hmm. style just to kind of make themselves more cognizant of like, oh, I should get more fresh produce in my mm-hmm. diet. You just don't want to completely exist this way. For one, it's expensive. him.
Yeah.
And it's not practical when you're
it's not fun. I'm just going to be I've never done it before, but I've had people, you know, talk about like I'm going on like a Whole 30, and I always like roll my eyes because I'm such a skeptic. I'm so just like, whatever. Quit trying to sell me these things. Let me just live my life. But, you know, my issue, I think, with it, and I think what you brought up is really good, because I think it shows people like, okay, here's some fruits and vegetables that you might not have known you liked, and it starts to get them to think about, oh, I do feel better when I eat more nutrient-dense things and stuff like that. I just have such a problem with like a timeline on how to eat, because what if you kind of deal with like some mental issues of like, you know, disordered eating, and that kind of starts to make you think a certain way, and that's where I always kind of think like moderation to me is kind of like listening to your body and just kind of knowing what you need to eat, and, you know, also indulging, because I feel really happy when I indulge sometimes. You know, it's a it's a very emotional connection to food. And like Thanksgiving was so great. And I wonder about people with Whole 30, if they do it before a holiday and then they like kind of screw everything up because it's like, I'm going crazy. Or then if it's after. And I could see like a reset in the new year. Like that to me would make more sense. But I don't like parameters on my eating.
Oh, absolutely. You know what I mean? Not. Yes. And I think, we have a lot of individuals that have very black and white thinking about their eating, where, oh, you should only eat exclusively for nourishment. And the same problem could stand true if you had someone who's like, hey, I only eat for pleasure. Well, the thing is, we eat for a variety of reasons, and that's okay. Sometimes we eat out of celebratory purposes, like a slice of birthday cake. We do it because we're celebrating somebody's birthday. Or, hey, we're going out to eat, and maybe we're not completely hungry, but it's an activity for us to do as a group with our friends. And that's okay. I think when we can understand that that's socially acceptable, we don't get weird about it.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to, is like not getting too obsessed or weird. And I just think just our culture kind of tends to get obsessive about things. So I guess it's one of those things. I think you brought up a good point, like kind of take it for what it is. Yeah, it's all these new things. I'm sure we'll hear something new in January. Some new diet, like the Harry Potter diet. You can only eat what's at the table. I don't know.
Yeah, like butterbeer. Yeah, I'm like trying to think of all the things.
Yeah.
And like chocolate frogs and like all this stuff.
Yeah.
But before we go on weird tangents with that, it's time for another break, you guys. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
And we're back. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney. And we've had a great show talking about food, ways that you can, you know, kind of stay headstrong in the new year, knowing your resources. And honestly, it's kind of making me a little hungry.
I know. I'm like, it's time to eat.
But yeah, I think, Sheena, you've given us a lot to think about, a lot for me to think about, and also our listeners, about, you know, the worst nutrition trends. And if you just are now catching up, you can go back and archive this show. But things like juice cleanses and, like, you know, anytime you're like eliminating anything from your diet, that's always kind of, you know, a red flag. And then you also kind of talked about like some nutrition trends that you could follow with caution, like with me being a vegetarian, making sure that you're eating from all your food groups. And then Whole 30, it was kind of on the fence of like, yeah, it's got some really good things, but being very mindful about, you know, moving forward after Whole 30, it's kind of like a whole new world because you've eliminated all this stuff and then you're going to want to kind of slowly put some stuff back in. So just being mindful. So I'm kind of curious, Sheena, for our last little segment here, a few minutes together, you know, like your advice for sustainable nutrition and what that looks like for our listeners. We're finishing out the year, we're getting ready to eat a bunch of good food, but like, what can we take with us?
So, you know, I'm kind of going to go in a little bit of a different direction with this, and I'm going to mention something that I believe I've mentioned on some of our previous shows. One of my most favorite dietitians that works in the field of intuitive eating, eating disorders, all that good stuff, her name is Kara Harbstreet, and she put something on her social media one day that she keeps in her office, and basically the sign says, whatever you do in terms of eating or exercise, are you doing it from a place of love for your body or hate for your body? So think about it. If you are coming from a place of hate for your body, what does that exercise usually look like? It's usually something that feels really punitive. It feels like a no pain, no gain, like, oh, I got to get on the elliptical and go, you know, 60 minutes because that's going to burn calories. If we are thinking about eating eating in a certain way because we hate our body. It's like, okay, body, you can't have any more carbs, nothing fried, you know, no alcohol, soda, whatever the case may be. But if we flip our thought process in that and we're moving or eating a certain way because we're coming from a place of love, I might say, oh, I really love my body. I realize I haven't been eating as many fruits and vegetables as I'd like to. Let me see what I can add more of to my diet. So I think that as you start to think about nutrition and maybe even physical activity trends for the new year, come from a place of love and respect for your body and what you want to add more of versus kind of thinking of it as this deprivation mindset. So when you think about nutrition challenges for yourself, like, oh, I want to drink more water versus, oh, I'm going to drink less soda. If you're drinking more water, by default, you're going to be drinking less soda. And that's just going to feel a lot more liberating than this mindset of, oh, I can't have this, this, and this. It's more of a like, oh, I'd love to have more fruit in my diet, or, oh, I would love to incorporate breakfast, or I'd like to eat things that are grilled more often versus, you know, the opposite of like, oh, I'm just not ever going to eat fried food. So that mindset just totally switches things. And same thing for exercise, like letting someone choose activities that they actually enjoy and, you know, wanting to move their body, to move it, and not just thinking of weight loss as the main parameter for moving their body.
Yeah, I mean, I was just thinking that, you know, just in my profession and what I do, and it's like you can always kind of tell when somebody's exercising because it's like I'm exercising to lose, you know, weight, or which I mean, that's great, it's part of it, but when you have a more of an obsessive type of mindset about it. And then I think about like how much I love doing yoga and Pilates. It feels good. And like, I don't like running and I don't like high intensity stuff. I like to dance, and maybe that's just a change. I'm going to be 37 now, apparently. So maybe that's a change in my life. But, you know, I mean, just finding things that bring you joy and you can sustain that. And I think that's really good advice. You know, I just think as we move into the new year, you're going to be hit. I keep saying this. You're going to be hit with like obsessive things. Yes. You're going to see the fitness trends on TV, and you're going to see really fit people. And not everybody looks like that. You know what I mean? Not everybody can eat perfectly and has, you know, like Hollywood bodies or whatever. And I think it's just really kind of loving yourself. I know that that sounds like kind of like, oh yeah, duh, love yourself. But like really seriously looking at yourself and noticing, you know, what makes you you, and enjoying food, because food is supposed to be a social thing and very, you know, like, I mean, I love at the end of the day coming home and eating dinner. It's like, oh, this feels great to just sit down at a meal. So I don't know. We kind of have like, we're kind of challenging our listeners a little bit to think outside the box.
We are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and don't fret, because this is not the last time we're going to talk about this. We'll definitely be hitting this pretty hard in January too. But y'all, we hope that y'all have a fabulous week, a fabulous rest of your 2021, and we will catch y'all next year. You've been listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheen and Whitney on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.